Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome to 2020. It's great to be here. We've been given another year to do the show, another year with of health and our faith. Let's pray that we all have 2020 vision spiritually this
That's
year.
Right.
So good morning, Jesse.
Yeah, reporting for duty 10-8, ready to give people some good Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing. You know, Ruben, there's a problem that hasn't gone away. It's been around for hundreds of years now, and it crops its ugly head here and there in politics and in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Freemasonry.
Right.
And the Freemasonry has been banned by the Catholic Church, by Catholic popes, all the way back to Pope Clement XII in 1738. Catholics have been forbidden to join the Freemasons. And this has been a constant papal teaching, so I'm scratching my head right now as I'm seeing, obviously, a modernist bishop over in Australia who's essentially permitting Catholics to become Freemasons. The bishop's name is the bishop wrote a letter in 2016 to Father Stephen Hackett, General Secretary of the Australian Catholic Bishops, because he wanted to know, hey, what's the church's stance on Masonry? Mm-hmm. And so there's a Mason that's, I guess he's a Catholic. And here's the letter, basically. It says this, the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference General Secretariat, dear Mr. Michalik, so he's the Mason that's also a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
He says, to respond to the matters you raised in the letter, I sought the advice of the Bishop's Commission for the Canon Law and the Bishop's Commission for Doctrines and Morals, reviewed our records of earlier considerations of the participation of Catholics in Freemasonry, and consulted my peers at the other Episcopal conferences. It has taken time for the Bishop's Commissions, and more importantly, for the Bishop's Conference to address these matters. In respect of your three stated objectives in writing to me, I believe that a meaningful and trusting dialogue between the Catholic Church in Australia and Freemasonry is possible so long as a particular branch of Freemasons is not hostile to the Church and Catholic faith. That's a statement of ignorance, because right. Freemasonry, it's a Gnostic system that's incompatible with the Catholic faith. And in fact, when you become a 33rd Mason, it's revealed to you that the great architect that you worship is Satan himself, and you have to smash a papal tiara. And so I don't know what this letter from the bishop's office is talking about. Oh, we've got to determine if their brand of Masonry is not hostile to the Catholic faith. Let me finish this letter. I'll pitch it over to you. It says,
sure.
As regards to the Catholic Church in Australia and the various Masonic jurisdictions, working together in a spirit of harmony, I expect that this would be informed by circumstance, need, and opportunity. Your letter notes instances where such opportunity already has arisen and the cooperation has been beneficial for those in need. Now, so that's a fake argument saying, oh, well, you know, we work with Masons in some areas already in society. Well, of course, let's just say a levee breaks in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and you got Masons going over there to try to help people and Catholics and Protestants. We're not going to say, hey, we don't want to, you know, get out of here. You can't help in saving people. You're a Mason. Of course you're going to help people. Or you're not even going to ask, you know, what anybody's political or religion is at that point. You're going to say, we're here to help.
Right.
So that's a weak argument. Then it says here, perhaps most importantly for Catholic members of Freemasonry, I can reiterate a directive first made by the Bishops' Conference in 1984 and affirmed this year. No penalty attaches to Catholic membership of the Masonic Order. Now, here's what's interesting. That's the exact opposite of what the church has actually said. That was not true. That statement was a false statement, because nobody other than, in fact, he's still alive right now, is Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI. He was asked about Freemasonry back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And Cardinal Ratzinger says, since their principles have always been considered irreconcilable with the doctrine of the church, and therefore membership in them remains forbidden. That was a 1983 declaration from the Vatican under Cardinal Ratzinger, who's now Pope Benedict XVI. Ruben?
Yeah, Jesse, this brand of whatever philosophy or theology, whatever you want to call it, Freemasonry, it's been condemned by more popes. It's been condemned by the subject matter itself. Masonry has been condemned more than any other subject, any other problem in the church. So, like you said, Pope Clement XII goes all the way back, and we can go on and on about all the different popes that have condemned it. And you know, you mentioned something that in the beginning, not the letter, but you were talking about but when they get to the higher levels, then they're going to be introduced to who they really worship, which is they call it the great architect, who is Satan himself. But they go through this whole ritual, so they weed out anybody who's not, anyone who really manifests any real religious depth or signs of conscience. They never go beyond the lower stages, the lower degrees. So they remain instead a member of the rank and file of Masonry, of the respected front which it presents to the world. But he and his kind are never entrusted with the real secret, you know, when you get to, like you said, the 33rd degree. So it is incompatible. It's, you know, it preaches naturalism and it's syncretism. Because it'll take people from all walks of life and basically give them, you know, let them know that they're correct. So one guy preaches, you know, Christ, he's a Catholic or a Christian, and another guy preaches, Allah. Then, and they're both given that, okay, you're fine, you can come in. And so, you know, one guy's right, one guy's wrong, but or they're both wrong, and they accept you that way. But it's very deep, and we talked about on another show, Jesse, about the Alta Vendita that was discovered in the 1800s and how the church, put it out. It was determined that they were going to try to infiltrate the church because they knew they couldn't take out the church. So that's interesting. If you want to get into
the Alta Vendita, these guys are the Italian Masons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Permanent instruction of the Alta Vendita.
Right.
Yeah, this was the Italian law, the highest lodge in Italy.
Well, you know, remember Pope Leo XIII had that vision where he saw Lucifer and Jesus having a conversation about attacking his church, and then that was this caused him to write the St. Michael Prayer, as we've talked about, and also his encyclical Humani Genus, in which he wrote to his sons and the bishops. I'll quote him. He says, "We wish it to be your rule first of all to tear away the mask from Freemasonry, and to let it be seen as it really is, and by sermons and pastoral letters to instruct the people as to the artifices used by societies of this kind in seducing men and enticing them into their ranks." And, Pope St. Pius X, he wrote in his first encyclical, "So extreme is the general perversion that there is room to fear that we are experiencing the foretaste and beginnings of the evils which are to come at the end of time, and that the son of perdition, of whom the apostle speaks, has already arrived upon earth." Mm. So, I mean, there's plenty of popes. I was reading Pope Pius IX. He had a, if you ever read his story, it's fascinating because of what was going on with the French Revolution and all that's where a lot of this began, this, you know, enlightenment stuff. So,
right. And again, when you hear the word enlightenment, they're trying to juxtapose it with somebody who's dark, the dark ages, and they're referring to Catholics. That's a direct attack on Catholic intellect, saying you guys are darkened, you guys aren't enlightened. And Ruben, one of the things about Freemasonry is it's embedded in this country as well. Tim Gordon, in his book that he just wrote on politics, I'm trying to think about the title right now, I'll grab it in my shelf. He said that 9 of the 56 founding fathers were Masons, and he said that the most important issue to the Masons is, quote, separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. That's their most important point, because That's not a Catholic principle. Catholicism is not into separation of church and state.
No.
That's not a Catholic principle. That's a Masonic principle that's basically been embedded into this, into our country. And I'm holding a book right now for the camera. It's called Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Lady. In this book, written by Father Ripperger and some other exorcists, and the prayers there to the lady, on page 123, they have this one prayer where they teach people to renounce Freemasonry. It's on page 123, the Masons pray and worship what's the great architect. And in that book, it says that this great architect in the 32nd and 33rd degree, the great architect is revealed to the Masons as Lucifer. So it's, this is in Father Ripperger's book, 32nd and 33rd degree Masons, and it's revealed to them that the great architect that they've been worshiping all along is Lucifer himself. Mm-hmm. And so Father has a lot of prayers here in this book of people that are involved in Freemasonry and the prayers that they must say to be delivered from these demonic spirits that are attached to Freemasonry.
Yeah. Well, they're expected to take these secret oaths and not to divulge any of the ceremonies and the handshakes and the rituals that go on in under pain of penalty of death. And so, anyway, we're going to get deeper into this stuff about Freemasonry. It's not compatible with Catholicism. So we will be right back. Do not change that dial.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. The second day of January 2020, and we're talking about Freemasonry and a letter, the Australian bishops defy church teaching. And we're talking about how it is irreconcilable with Catholic teachings. And Jess,
I'm wondering how many of these Australian bishops are Masons themselves. Think about it. Okay?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it only makes sense. You're going to defy church teaching that's been around for hundreds of years since this secret society started. My question is, how many of these guys are Masons themselves? Mm. That's exactly why they would put out that statement.
Yeah, that's quite possible. And, you know, since it's a secret society, you know, they're not going to.
We don't know who's part of it.
Yep. We've had some people on good authority who claim that the architect of the new mass, our Archbishop Annibale Bugnini, was a Freemason.
Was a Mason. Right. That's pretty well established by at least four good sources that I've found that are very credible historians.
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. He was, and he's the one that basically called in Protestants to as advisors to how Catholics should worship. And the fact is, he was a Mason himself. And so what we have as a result is called the Novus Ordo Mass, which means the new order. Yes. Novus Ordo means the new order.
Right.
Okay. That's what it means, the new order, Missae Mass.
Yes.
Ruben, let me just mention one thing, just overview about Freemasonry. There's no one founder. It's a secret society. They claim to come from medieval Europe or Solomon's Temple, but that's baloney. We know that they started in London in 1717 as a lodge. They were basically like construction guys. They were a Masonic lodge of Masons. Okay, blue collar guys with initiations, symbols, and degrees, but a little bit later, they started bringing in all these intellectuals. And they started saying, you know what, let's turn this group into this Gnostic secret society. So in the USA, the Grand Lodge of each state has the highest authority. There's about 3.2 million Masons worldwide. So they're not that big, but the bulk of them are in the US. So there's about 1.8 million in the US. They use the Bible, but they use other books as well. And Masons, they claim to transmit secret teachings from ancient times. So the Masonic edition of the Bible says that they've edited the Bible to their liking. They wrote there in their Bible, it says, Masonry is descended from the ancient mysteries. Okay, so they inserted that verse in there that's not in Scripture. And Masonry requires belief in a supreme being and treats all religions as though they believed in the same God. But Masons, who Masons call by such titles as the great architect of the universe, but we know that it's revealed to them in the 32nd and 33rd degree that it's Lucifer. Now, every time the Masons quote the Bible, reference to Jesus are omitted, and public prayers to Jesus are not used, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And in several rituals, in several Masonic rituals, Jesus is made equal to Zoroaster, Buddha, and Muhammad. And salvation, according to the Masons, again, this is why it's just totally incompatible to Catholicism. Salvation to the Grand Lodge above is achieved by living an upright life without explicit faith in Christ. Just being a good Mason gets you to whatever they call, whatever they consider salvation. Now, loyalty binds Masons to one another, and Masons promise by oath to the point of even death, never to reveal their secrets to outsiders. And they have curses that are symbolic today showing that they'll never reveal what's taught to them inside the lodge. The Masonic vows include protection to fellow Masons, even in the case of a crime. Okay. And so some of the offshoots of the Freemasons are the Order of the Eastern Star. That's for women. You got the Rainbow Girls and Job's Daughters for girls. You got De Molay. Those are for boys. And then for those that are just trying to get into Masonry, you have the Shriners. That's kind of a separate fraternity for Masons who have they've completed all the degrees necessary. And it's kind of their PR branch.
Mm-hmm.
It's the face of Masonry in the American public. Ruben?
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, I pulled up in October 4th, 1965, Pope Paul VI visited the United Nations, and he was invited there, and he spoke before them, and the UN president, Amator Fanfani and Secretary Thant, they were known as men committed to the Masonic ideals of the United Nations. And so the Pope, he spoke in front of this group, and he said, quote, he was asked, Pope Paul VI, and asked him to induce all nations. This is what Fanfani wanted the Pope to do, to induce all nations to do their best to make this organization, the UN, become a truly universal instrument of peace. And so what the Pope ended up saying was, our message desires to be above all a solemn moral ratification of this lofty organization, the UN. This message is born from our historic experience. It is a specialist in humanity that we bring to this organization, the approval of our more recent predecessors, the entire Catholic Episcopate, and our own, convinced as we are that this organization represents the obligatory pathway for modern civilization and world peace. And so he's putting his trust in this, the United Nations, to, you know, which is, has a lot of Masonic ideals.
And Islamic.
And you know what? And now you see where this current pontificate is going with it. You know, he's taken what Pope Paul VI just said there, and he's...
It's logical conclusion.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's horrible.
I'll tell you, Reuben, why Masonry is condemned by the Catholic Church. And according to the constant teachings of the Church, not according to modernists, there's four bullets here. Masonry embraces relativism. And that's the idea that truth and morality are relative to a person's perspective. And Masons imply that they won't say it, but they imply that all the systems of belief are equal. Second reason why Masonry is condemned by the perennial teachings of the Church, because it embraces naturalism. That's a philosophical belief that excludes miracles, excludes supernatural grace and divine revelation. Third reason why Masonry can never be permitted in the Catholic Church or to be practiced by a Catholic. The Freemasons, secretive, they have a quasi-liturgy. They have liturgical signs and ceremonies, which gives Masonry all the trappings, all the outside, you know, just the outside affectations of being its own religion. And the fourth thing is that the Masons, they have to swear secret oaths, including blood oaths, vowing absolute secrecy about the signs and ceremonies. And remember what the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 12, about secret oaths. James 5:12, the cousin of Jesus, says this: "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, that you may not incur condemnation." Here's what Jesus says about swearing oaths. Matthew 5:33-37, Jesus Christ says, "Again, you have heard that it is said, that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." Yeah. This is very clear, Reuben. In the Catholic faith, there's nothing secret about what we do. Anybody can walk into a Catholic church, you know, a Latin Mass, Novus Ordo Mass, and you can see anything that happens inside the Catholic Church. Grab the missalettes or grab the prayer books at the Latin Mass, and you can see, okay, what do these people actually believe? It's public. We're not hiding anything.
Right. That's right. And, you know, on six different occasions, Pope Pius IX, between 1846 and 1873, he condemned Freemasonry and its kindred secret sects. Quoting, he says, quote, "You are from the Father, the devil," end quote. He said to them in Singulari Quadam, "And it is the works of your Father that you wish to do." He wrote in Ex Epistola in 1865, "The rulers of the various countries who had failed to suppress the Masonic sects, would that they had not shown such negligence in so serious a duty, we would not then have to deplore such great wars and movements of revolt by which all Europe has been set ablaze." And he goes on to condemn the false but widespread opinion arising from ignorance of the facts that Freemasons are a harmless and philanthropic body, and that the church has nothing to fear from them. And you know, Jess, we have Catholics that have, you know, been Masons and have renounced there, and they've come forward and they've told us about what some of these oaths that they've taken are. There was a gentleman, I'm
John Salza.
Salza, that's right.
Yeah, he's written a lot about Masonry because he was an insider and he came back home to the church.
Right,
John Salza.
And if I'm not mistaken, John Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, he was a Mason, and he a lot of his ceremonies in the Mormon faith, it depicts, it's very if you look at
similar
to the what they're doing.
Plagiarized it. Exactly. Yeah, Mormonism is just plagiarized, right? Masonry, and you know, they came up with their own private revelations and their own theology,
even to the point of stripping them down to their underwear and you know, blindfolding them and taking them around and you know, by the hand and to basically tell them that they're in darkness and that they were going to become enlightened by this new belief.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Reuben, I'll tell you why Masonry is also cannot be practiced by a Catholic, because they teach that they can be saved without Jesus, and that's heresy. Yep. The Catholic Church says no man can be saved without Jesus. And so Masonry teaches a form of Gnosticism, okay, that you can be saved by being a good person. That's what they teach. You can be saved by being good. Really? Well, how good do you have to be? Last time when Jesus was asked if anybody was good, he said, nobody's good except my Father. So if you have to be good to get to heaven, according to Masons, or to be saved, because I don't know what they believe about the afterlife, well, again, that's why they're so fundamentally wrong, because they teach salvation without Christ, and that's impossible. And they also teach syncretism. They borrow a little bit from Judaism. They borrow a little bit from Islam, a little bit from Christianity. They borrow a little bit from all these other religions, and they kind of blend it together. And you have, it's called Masonry. And again, this syncretism, this borrowing of all these religions to come up with this cocktail, this is a diabolical, this is just a diabolical concoction that can't save anybody. This is just a man-made religion that'll lead you to hell if you follow it according to its precepts.
That's right. And that's what it is. It's a religion. They won't call it a religion, but that's what it is.
But we will.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be switching topics, and we're going to talk about the homeless crisis over here in L.A., and you're going to want to hear this.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, where iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We're certainly hoping to do that for you. We've been talking about the Freemason, how it's Freemasonry, how it was incompatible. It is incompatible with Catholicism. Now we're going to be talking about a homeless problem here in LA. Jesse, it's gotten horrible. It's gotten bad, real bad. I mean, you know, all the way from San Francisco to LA to, you know, you go anywhere you go nowadays, you're going to see, you know, little camps set up. Recently, a couple of years ago, there was a huge encampment in Santa Ana going down the riverbed. It was just for miles that they were just encamped there. And finally, you know, the city, they got people in there and they cleaned it up. But it caused a lot of problems, you know, medical problems because of the germs that, you know, people didn't have the proper restrooms to relieve themselves. And
yeah,
so,
Ruben, let's just be honest. They're pooping and urinating in public. And you have entire crews. I know this young guy who just got hired by the city of LA. He told me, hey, Mr. Romero, all I do for 8 hours a day is pick up poop. Yeah. And he's a high paid city worker. That's all he does. He just goes around scooping up human fecal matter and washing down with a power hose all the urine from the streets. That's what he does 40 hours a week. And he goes, there's several crews of us that do this. He goes, and we come back. Then basically the next week, and we do it again to the same location.
Wow,
Ruben, they're reporting that there's parts of Los Angeles where they've got a third world disease. The bubonic plague is coming back. The bubonic plague. This is a third world disease that was around in the 16th century. Ruben, I want to play a little clip, and we'll continue talking about this about the Golden State, California. There's a small little clip I want you to listen to. It was put out by Bill O'Reilly on the problem of homelessness in Los Angeles and in California in general. And there's some statistics that he puts out which are mind-boggling. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
President Trump versus California. Seems the White House is preparing a broad crackdown on the homeless crisis. A top official overseeing the White House's response to the escalating problem quit at the president's request last week, setting the stage for a sweeping crackdown on California's emergency. Matthew Daugherty, executive director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, wrote in an email of colleagues that the administration, quote, no longer wishes to have me, unquote. Daugherty was appointed to his position by President Obama. Now, what's really going on here is this. California cannot handle its homeless population, estimated to be as many as 300,000 individuals.
Wow.
Some of those folks are running wild, committing crimes and polluting cities like San Francisco and L.A. In fact, Los Angeles is spending $10,000 for every street person every year. Yet the situation remains revolting. Open drug use, using the streets as bathrooms, rampant disease. You can imagine trying to raise children in that environment, not to mention public safety. California has become an uber-liberal state that will not enforce laws or clean up this giant problem. California also defies President Trump with sanctuary cities and constant criticism. So, It is payback time. Using the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, the federal government may soon begin removing homeless camps on the grounds that they are a danger to the environment, they are.
Yep.
That will humiliate the state of California and other places like Seattle. President Trump is already on record as saying the filth on the streets of San Francisco is going into the bay and therefore goes out to the Pacific Ocean. So the White House is defining this as an environmental problem, almost taunting the liberal advocacy groups.
Yeah.
Now, if you really want to know the truth about the homeless epidemic, you have to accept that it is driven by substance abuse. People will say there are not enough jobs for people to earn money to get a house, but that is not true. There are plenty of jobs in this country. What is true is that the majority of homeless, perhaps as many as 80% of them, are addicted to hard drugs and or alcohol. And many of these people do not want rehabilitation. So even if you provide it at great expense to the taxpayer, there is a significant amount of homeless people who will not cooperate. Therefore, the city, the state, the county must take action or accept the horrendous situation of thousands and thousands of homeless people camping out in the cities, doing pretty much whatever they want. President Trump says he'll stop it. I'm Bill O'Reilly, and I approve that message by writing it.
Some good stuff, Ruben. Let's talk about it. Here's what I just wrote down. Eh? He says that the homeless problem in California, he says, is about 300,000. That's much more than is revealed by the mainstream media. Right. If that's the case, that's about three or four times larger than what's generally revealed by the mainstream media. Here's another thing he said. Los Angeles, the city proper, spends $10,000 on each homeless person. I just asked myself, how much longer can they keep on spending this money for people that are basically malingerers and that are just embedded with the sin of sloth in their soul?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing he said, which is huge, this is the biggest one, and this is a self-caused problem. 8 out of 10 of the homeless people in California are drug addicts. He says, this is what fuels the homeless problem. And here's the big problem. Many of them don't want rehabilitation. That's where we're at right now, Ruben.
No, Jess, that's my experience. Having worked the streets, you know.
And you still live out there.
I still live out here. But having encountered many homeless people in my law enforcement career, he's absolutely right. They're most of them fueled by drug addiction and then mental disease because of the years of using these drugs has really caused mental problems. And the majority of them don't want help. They're perfectly fine living on the streets because they don't want responsibility. I've tried helping many people get off the streets. And those I feel really bad for the people who are homeless because of the high rent prices here, the high cost of homes, the living costs here. And, you know, to see a mother and their kid or kids out on the street, that is disheartening because they didn't want to be in that situation. But the majority have chosen to live like that. And have you noticed, Jess, is it just me? When we talk about these problems with homelessness and drug abuse and the majority of these places are all run by liberals. And I'm just saying. You know,
you're stating the fact.
Look at San Francisco.
You're not being partisan. You're just stating the fact.
Yeah, it's happening in Seattle, New York, you know, L.A. It's their dumps. And I agree completely with Trump that it becomes an environmental problem. You know, the left is always touting about our environment and how
clean environment. Yeah.
AOC is from New York, and she's not doing anything about her homelessness crisis in New York. So I got a real problem with that, Jesse, because I don't.
I think the president is smart by labeling this an environmental problem, because he's using a term that the liberals have coined.
Yes,
and that's a religion for them, is the environment. So he's saying, well, is this good for the environment? Having fecal matter and diarrhea and urine all over the streets, and a bubonic plague and rats. So he's using their argument against them, which is good. Because this is where they can't say he's being partisan. He's just saying, no, I'm just pointing something out that you guys have been talking about for decades about the environment, and you guys are the biggest violators of destroying the environment, and so I'm going to have to step in.
And he's taking a page out of Pope Francis's book, who's always talking about the environment and, you know, global warming and all those things. I mean, so, you know, I this can't be helping global warming when people using the restroom in the streets.
No. Ruben, I tell you, I do feel bad for some people. There are some that are just homeless. Not a lot. Some are just homeless because they want to live in California and they just can't afford housing. The housing is so unaffordable. They can't. I would say that's a minority of the homeless people. I would say the majority want to be out there, and they're drug addicts. But there are some that have been probably forced out of their apartment or their house as a result of the skyrocketing. I mean, you know, the housing prices in California are just through the roof. And so I would say in part that plays a small part in some of the homeless people out there. But by and large, I would say most of them, here's the combination coming from a faith component. You get a person who doesn't have a faith component at all. Number two, they live a life of sin. We'll call it mortal sin. They don't know the meaning and purpose of life, you know, to know, love, and serve God and get to heaven. And so they live by the seat of their pants. They just live basically from one day to the next day, like tumbleweeds, you know, like wandering generalities. They have no purpose, coupled with the fact that they're using drugs, coupled with the fact that there's no faith component, coupled with the fact with all the secular influences around you, which are evil, and you have a generation of monsters out there.
It's getting bad. And it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Unfortunately, let's hope that 2020 we can clean it up. We'll be right back. Continue with this this topic about homelessness.
Hands on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back, Jesus 911, two-man car. We are 10-8. Two former LASD deputy sheriffs who now use that acronym to say, they call it leaving all sin destroyed. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does for us. He destroys it. His precious blood has saved us.
Amen. That is free. Hey, Ruben, there's a gentleman that's trying to cash in on this homeless crisis in California. There's an article put out by The Sun. It says 3 billion, 300-acre megacity envisioned for California's record homeless. But here's the twist. So you got this gentleman, he's got a website, it's called Citizens Again. Real change is coming for everybody. He's envisioning, he wants to build a real beautiful, actually sophisticated, you can see the pictures on this article, sophisticated homeless city. Kind of, I remember years ago I watched the movie, it was called Escape from New York, where they turned a certain part of New York just for all the convicts. All the convicts in the U.S. were sent to this one part of New York. Mm-hmm. Well, they want this guy, this entrepreneur, he wants to build this 300-acre homeless city in California. And I guess he wants to do this. His website is called Citizens Again. And so this is kind of a private entrepreneurial enterprise. But my question is this. How much money does he stand to make doing something like this? And what are his motives for building something like this? And as I look at some of the pictures, Ruben, if this city is ever built, a lot of these homeless people will live a lot more comfortable than, a family, with a single breadwinner, with dad working, raising four or five kids, living in the Maravilla housing projects. I mean, the pictures that I'm looking at here of this mega city for homeless people, it's absolutely gorgeous. It looks like something in the future.
Yeah. But Jess, I don't think he's contemplated, because it crossed my mind when you were talking about that movie that this reminded you of. Well, who's going to police all these people in there? If it's, because these are people who've been living on the streets. These people who are drug addicts, they're thieves, that have, they have to steal to get their money. And so do you think they could live among other people in harmony? It's going to be, I don't know. I just can't see it. You're going to have, some type of police force or, a security force to keep the safety for this, such a big operation here. He has some good, good thoughts, and he's talking about making this up in San Francisco. He says San Francisco could become the mecca of America's homeless, and he wants to create these high density housing and dormitories consisting of sleeping quarters and communal bathrooms with private showers. Additionally, residents would be provided RFID-enabled wristbands to be tracked constantly, gain access to their dorm rooms, as well as perform tasks such as a job, check-in, purchasing items with credits, medicine consumption, and more. He says that they'll have their own cafeteria, be four neighborhoods, multiple scheduled eating times to accommodate 150,000-person population. And since the homeless are probably not best known for their ironclad work ethic, the neighborhoods will also be fitted with tiered seating for residents to watch TV in a community setting within their neighborhood. Oh, I can see how long that's going to last before someone starts fighting over the remote control, you know. Oh, my
God. It's like the county jail.
Oh, that's, yeah, exactly. So he's...
Yeah, so what do you think about this guy's ideas, Ruben? I think...
Who's gonna pay for it, Jess? I mean, who's going to... Okay, so let's say you raise the money. Who's going to... You raise the money to build this, then who's going to keep operating it? Where's that money coming from? It's, you know...
And you also talked about the law enforcement, the fire department, basic services mm-hmm. that you're going to need to run, because it's a city. This yeah. is like a little city. It's 300 acres. It's not small. You see the pictures of it in this article. It's going to take, again, fire is going to take police. It's mm-hmm. going to take some type of government oversight, you know, street cleaning.
I'm going to my vote is for you, Jesse, to come out of retirement and be the chief of police of this new homeless city.
Well, thanks a lot, Ruben.
you can preach to them as well and get them saved.
That's exactly what they need. They need some power preaching more than anything else. You know, I'll tell you, and here's where you can tell the difference between a homeless person that has gone through some hard times versus a homeless person who's spiritually afflicted with a demon. Okay, because there's a difference. Mm-hmm. You've seen just moms out there with their kids, and they're just scared and shivering in the night under a blanket. Then you've seen guys out there, young guys, violent. They like to rip their clothes off. They like to do acts of violence, mm-hmm. and they're always like talking to themselves or talking to a second person that doesn't exist. Okay, that's the difference. There's two types of homeless. You got homeless people out there that are just scared. They've gone through some bad times, mm-hmm. and they've hit rock bottom. Then you got people out there that are possessed with demons. And I can tell you the ones that are possessed. Here's the criteria. And we've seen them, Ruben, as cops, okay? Yeah. Or even in the public. You're just driving by these places, you can see them. Number one, somebody who's diabolically afflicted, they like to take their clothes off. So a lot of these homeless guys are always exposing themselves. Or they're raping each other in the tents. They're sodomizing each other. So they love nudity and love violent nudity. That's the first thing where you could tell they're spiritually afflicted. Second thing is that they're violent. Okay? They're violent. They like to fight. They don't get along with anybody. They pick on the other homeless. They're bullies. And then the third thing you'll see in the homeless people that are spiritually afflicted with demons is they're having a complete conversation with somebody that's not there. Okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just like looking up and they're talking to somebody and they're completely, involved in a conversation with somebody who's not there. That's the difference between a homeless who is spiritually afflicted by demons versus a homeless person that's just hit rock bottom and they've come across hard times and they're just out there just trying to survive from one night to the next.
Yeah. Jesse, California has turned into a feeding frenzy because people are coming from other states to California
because the weather's good.
The weather's good, and they're getting free stuff. So if you know, it's the old adage. You know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. That's what we have to do. We have to get them, you know, back into the workforce. Get them, you know, their self-esteem. Get them off drugs. Give them some spiritual direction.
Especially that.
Yeah. Especially that. Yeah. And I thought it was just quite hilarious on Christmas Day when President Trump, he attacked California's Governor Gavin Newsom for the bad job that for not taking care of the homeless population in California. And he says, if he can't fix the problem, the federal government will get involved. And then he attacked Nancy Pelosi, the California Democrat who has led the effort to impeach him and told her to clean up her filthy and dirty district and help the homeless there. Okay, so... We'll see if the federal government steps in because this is really getting bad. And I think I mentioned on another show that leprosy has been, you talked about bubonic plague, but leprosy has come into the picture too. And they think that it's coming from the South American refugees that are coming up here. So
you also have typhus, Ruben. They've also detected typhus all over the city of Los Angeles. In fact, some cops have contracted the typhoid fever and, yes, and again, I've even read that they have phone apps that tell you what streets to walk on that don't have poop. So it's like an app tracks the poop, and it tells you what streets to walk on versus the other streets that are just inundated with poop all over the ground.
That's disgusting. I you won't see me coming out of retirement. I'm done with that. You know, I don't need that. Let's we've got to help them in a different way. Like
exactly.
Man,
here's the last thing I'll say. Here's also another reason why this was caused by liberal government and policies. Here's what they did. Number one, here's the three things that have caused the homeless problem. Aside from they don't know Jesus, they don't have a relationship with God.
Right.
So spiritually, they're empty. But on a natural level, the liberals started cutting down or shutting down mental institutions. There was a big push. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't do that. That's cruel and unusual punishment. You can't house them there. So there's a big push to demonize mental institutions. So, you know, the government caved in and just let all these people out in the street.
Yeah.
Then the liberals in California says, you can't have people in prison for just drug offenses. They need treatment, not prisons. Now we let another couple thousand people out on the street that are just, quote unquote, drug users.
Yeah.
Okay? So you have those two dumps. Number three, you got this liberalization of drug laws in California, decriminalizing drugs. So you have more people using drugs. What does drugs do? We talked about it yesterday. Like marijuana, for example, it's a disincentive drug. It destroys your motivation. It destroys your ability to want to do something.
Yep.
So you liberalize all these drug laws and now you oppose mandatory treatment for mental illness. What do you have? You got, like O'Reilly said, maybe about 300,000 homeless people in the state of California. That's what you got.
Yeah.
And the man caused problem by the liberals. Government.
They're not able to, it doesn't have any teeth to that, the law where they have to get drug counseling. I mean, they sign up, they get out of jail saying that they're going to be going to drug treatment, and they don't go, and there's no ramifications. It's terrible. I've talked to my buddies that are still working, and they said, you know, the arrest for incarceration for drug offenses is way down because it's a misdemeanor. The guy's going to get cited out before they even finish the report. So these guys are, oh man, why are we even going to do this? I may as well just concentrate on crimes that are going to get people do some serious time, you know? Yeah. So
Ruben, I'll tell you what, and these elites in the, like Nancy Pelosi and Governor Gavin Newsom, they live behind high walls.
Yeah.
They got security systems. They got guard dogs. They got private security. They got high police visibility. So they're protected from the mentally ill and the homeless people because those people end up in the barrios, in the ghettos. They end up in trailer parks and where blue-collar Americans live. And so that's why Pelosi and Newsom, not that big of a deal. They live in towers.
Yep. Well, hope you enjoyed the topics today. We're going to be back tomorrow, Eddie and Jesse, Jesus 911. And we hope that your 2020 will be a great year, healthy, happy, spiritually uplifting. And let's get back into the faith and tell people about the radio show, you know. Bring more listeners to Jesus 911 and all the shows on VMPR. Stay tuned for Gary Mashuda on Hands-On Apologetics.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.